By appointment, we heard that word a while ago, appointed. And that verse is a marvelous, marvelous verse where God says, God hath not appointed, and that has to be emphasized, us to wrath. The Bible talks about men and women who are appointed to wrath, appointed vessels to destruction. What a terrible appointment. I saw one time how the farmers raise sugar beets. I was on the farm, and here there were thousands of little plants coming up out of the ground, and the farmer went up and he kicked out, maybe 100 out of, or 99 out of 100. Just threw them out. Couldn't use them. And he kept 1 out of 100 here and 1 there out of 100. And another one there. I said, what are you doing? Why do you throw all these others? Well, they amount to nothing. They'll never grow into the sugar beets that will go on the market. And he knew by looking at these little plants which would fulfill. And God says, whom he did foreknow before the foundation of the world. God has a great and wonderful call and a marvelous appointment, and he has not appointed us. That's important. I've got to know whether I've been one of God's appointed ones and whether he has appointed me for this most marvelous salvation. God knows who's going to fulfill. God knew that before the foundation of the world. God knew who is going to make the great. And someday when we get to heaven and we see Arajya Kaibolos Ramalokuja and see the great mystery of eternity fulfilled, men and women transformed, shining in the likeness of the great Son of God, in the likeness of God himself. That's what it means. Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestiny. I believe in predestination, don't you? Oh, I tell you, everything depends on God's predestination, and everything depends on the faithfulness of God in doing what he predestined us to be, but whom he did foreknow. Now God knew this meeting before the foundation of the world. He saw you sitting there. He knew you were going to come here instead of going to some saloon and drink your belly full of whiskey. God knew you were going to be hungry for his word. God knew he prepared this meeting for you. Glory to God. Oh, how wonderful is my God, whom he foreknew. And how wonderful to know that God has not appointed us to wrath. What did he do with those whom he foreknew? Them he also did predestinate. He made his selection before the foundation of the world. He said, no, that boy will fulfill. That girl will fulfill. I want that man. I want that child. I want that boy. I'm going to get him. He did predestinate to be what he wants them to be conformed to the image of his son. What a predestination. And that wonderful verse that was quoted a while ago from 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us about it. And it tells us there more in that entire epistle to the Thessalonians. That is the subject. It ends finally by saying, and the God of peace sanctify you wholly. Tell me, to what percentage are you sanctified tonight? How much of you is holy tonight? The dear saint had a vision one time of heaven. He came to the pearly gates, and before the angel let him get in, he saw a great pile of something that looked like beef. He said, what's that? He said, go a little closer. And he saw they were all tongues cut out. The angel said, those are the tongues of the saints that couldn't behave on earth. They had to be cut out before they could get into heaven. How much of you has been sanctified Beloved, it tells us that our whole spirit, oh, the spirit of man, how wonderful, destined to be a God, destined in the end of eternity to be like Jesus Christ, to reign with him over the angels. Oh, my God, I ought to be interested in my call, in your call, that your whole spirit, the God of peace, and he's talking about people on this earth, people who suffered persecution, but he didn't fear at all. He didn't back down at all. He wasn't afraid that God wasn't going to do it. He said, the God of peace sanctify you a little bit so that you'll at least act like Baptists, like good Methodists, so that you at least go to church two or three times a week and take communion on Good Friday night. Or you act like a Pentecostal saint when you're in meeting and like the devil when you're at home. No. I pray the God of peace. Oh, this God of peace is my God, is your God. Hallelujah. And he will sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless here on earth unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say and confirm that wonderful word, that he has not appointed us to wrath. Faithful is he. God talks about his faith. And if God isn't faithful to me, I'll never, never, never get there. Oh, but how faithful is he that calleth you. Hallelujah. Because he is faithful, he is going to fulfill it, he says. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And today we all are full of thanksgiving to God, because this year has been the richest year in our lives. And these last few months have been the richest months in our life. Those that have been awakened to the Raja Bailagalombosire, to the call of God, they have answered that call. They have heard the knocking of the hand of Jesus at the door of their heart. They've heard his voice. They've opened the door. He has come in more fully. He has taken over. He has taken charge. He has subdued them. He has worked by the Holy Ghost. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Everything depends on the faithfulness of God. If he drops me, it'll never happen. And if I forsake him, it'll never happen. And if I don't cooperate with him with fear and trembling, it'll never happen. But that's why the Holy Spirit has come all the way out of heaven to this earth. No preacher can do it. No prophet can do it. No Elijah, no Jeremiah, no Moses. My servant Moses is dead, he said to Joshua. Now you take the people. I'll be with you like I was with Moses. Moses couldn't do it. Joshua couldn't do it. It takes the Holy Spirit in the name and power of the risen Son of God to work me through, to pull me through. What do you need? If God is faithful and if God has appointed you to be like Jesus Christ, how is he going to get his job done unless you let him? Unless you obey him, unless you desire it, unless that living hope lives within you and burns up the dross of your self-love and your self-ambition. Listen, faithful is he that calleth you. We have the same word in 1 Corinthians 1 where he says, God is faithful by whom you were called, oh my God, into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh my God, my God. I may be very satisfied with myself. And that's what's the matter with us. As soon as we have a little blessing, off we go. Like a chicken when it's found a worm, puts it in his mouth and off he goes for fear some other chicken will steal it. And then we start a new church and we start a new fanaticism somewhere. The world's full of it. When we came to Germany, they told us, we don't want you here. We've got 56 different factions of Pentecostal churches that want to get into Germany. And they all fight one another. You think they'll ever get to heaven? No, sir. No, sir. Jesus Christ has called us into fellowship with himself. And if God has his way, he'll deliver you of all that fanaticism. And he'll deliver you of all that self-love. and he'll make your heart to burn with love for God and for all of humanity.
But here he says,
faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And what is he going to do?
Oh, my God is faithful by whom you were called. Does it mean anything to you that you're called
into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord? And our sister quoted that verse that tells you the same thing, that tells you that God has not appointed us to wrath.
What is the matter with the world today? What's the matter with worldly churches today? Beloved, God's given them over to a reprobate mind, and the devil is running off into hell with them.
That's what it is. Don't you fool yourself.
We talk about offenses that must come. See that you offend not one of these little ones that believe in me. I wonder how many of our children are being offended by your television shows and by your talk at the table. I've been in Christian homes, in Pentecostal homes, where children have been defiled by the talk of their parents over the table. And in Kirchheim we have a strange sight. As we come out of the church, there are some great big millstones, so big that no man could lift them. And they preach a sermon to me every time I come out. God says it were better for you that a millstone were hanged about your neck and you were drowned in the depths of the sea. Nobody believes that.
Nobody believes that. That's why today people don't believe that you're lost, that the wrath of God is upon you, unless
you obey God.
God has not appointed us
to wrath. He has appointed us, though, to what? To live together with him unto salvation.
Beloved, this is salvation to which we're all called to live. Not just to go to church. Not just to make a holy face in church. Not just to have a profession. But really to have a life of union with Jesus Christ. To say, I live no more. Christ has control of me. Christ liveth within me. And how did he get there with the Thessalonians?
He tells us in the very first chapter. He tells us, I know your calling, brethren.
I know your election of God. I know. I'm not fooled. I know when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. I know that our preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But it came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And you received it as it is in truth, the Word of God. And not only do I give you this testimony,
I saw how you turn to God from idols, and everybody around about you knows it. Everywhere the testimony is brought, how you turn to God from idols.
How you got saved.
I'm so thankful that God goes the same way today.
He has the same method today. He has the same way. He says we're begotten of the living seed of the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of the flesh is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth.
Oh, don't you see the grass withering? When today Protestant ministers get together and they say, now, we're glad we're without God. We have a religion and we don't need God anymore. Beloved, they don't have to be lost. They're lost already. They don't have to go to hell. They're already in hell. The God of this world has already blinded their minds, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And Paul says, they perish.
But God has not appointed us for wrath. Oh, how different when we heard the word of God. When we heard the gospel, it came like a two-edged sword. It left us absolutely no room anymore to be careless. We had to repent. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day and he has appointed a king, and he demands that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to Jesus Christ. And oh, how many times I've seen both here and abroad how hearts were pricked by that sword and how men repented right here. Men were willing to give up everything to suffer persecution. They gave up everything to follow Jesus Christ. Everything.
Thank God. And that's the way it ought to be. And with the Thessalonians, they received the word of God in much affliction. They knew that they were facing death when they became Christians. They knew that they were going to face the arena passed before the lions, maybe. They knew that, and yet they received the word with much affliction, in much affliction, with great joy. I look back over my life when Jesus came to me and remember 1 year that I spent praying and weeping and praying because God demanded from me not only to give up the best in the world, but to break the hearts of my best friends. I wonder if I'd do it again. But beloved, of Moses we read that when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, he made his choice because God had made his choice. God's made his choice of you. He wants you. And if he can have you, I tell you, he'll put you through the fire. I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. He's not going to leave you in your flesh and in your fleshly appetite. He's going to boil that out of you. He's going to crucify that man with its affections and lusts. And that's what Jesus Christ offers me. And that's why the Bible says, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. And what did the faithfulness of God make him do? He bruised his own son. He gave his own son. He spared not his own son. The Bible says he was pleased to bruise him. I could a long time not understand. God was pleased to bruise him when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God was pleased, his only begotten son, to be spat upon, to be treated like a criminal. Why? Because he loves me, because he has appointed me to be like Jesus, and because only by the death and the resurrection of the Son of God could my God deliver me from my lost estate, my lost condition, which I inherited from Adam the first. And now I've become an inheritor of his holiness. Now we become partakers of his holiness, and God is faithful. And to the Thessalonians he said, everywhere they have the testimony, how you turn to God from idols. Is that your testimony tonight? Is it how? You say to somebody, are you hungry? And how? Did you like your trip? And how? Are you saved? And how? Go into your home and you'll see everything is different. Everything is different. Work with that third party and everything's different. Everybody around about you knows that you're saved. Everybody knows, my, how different you are. My friend said, we don't like you anymore. We liked you when you were like we are. But since you got holy, we can't do anything with you anymore. Glory, glory, glory. How you turn to God. And when you turn to God, you turn to life. You turn to light. And you walk in the light as he is in the light. And when you turn to God, you turn out of darkness into light. But you also come into the kingship of Jesus Christ. Into obedience, absolute obedience. And that's what Thessalonians speaks of. And that's why he says, you've turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Oh, what a service. What a joyful life this is. Thank God I don't live for myself anymore. I don't have to. The Spirit of God is the driving force within me that drives me moment by moment to lend my body as a living member of his body to Jesus Christ. And he takes it. Oh, God has not appointed us to wrath. He has appointed us, though, to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we sleep, we should live together with him. Now, dear Lord, I'd like to stop and say, don't worry that anybody's going to take this to heart. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Don't be discouraged if you feel the sharpness of my two-edged sword, but rather bow your soul, because as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Cabaramelo guru guru rama. bi colonia le fonganzo lui scinito non gomo che le ramar bi bia corde revolavo su lui alla banca palaggia parapae poraggio lo pesano lo cae paraggio lo ve cae bofaggio. If an angel brought you tonight a letter personally addressed to you from me, what do you expect me to say to you? But let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Do you know that I am looking upon every one of you, and that I desire every one of you to prepare yourselves for my coming? And my heart will never be satisfied with you unless you allow me to work within you, to will and to do of my good pleasure. I have power to do that. I have power to subdue all things unto myself. I have power to give you a meek and quiet spirit, to cleanse you, to sanctify you wholly, so that your whole spirit and soul and body shall be preserved blameless. And if you will accept it, I will do it. I will move upon you every moment of this coming year. I will never forget you, neither during the day nor the night. I have called you to live together with me, and I will cause you to know my presence much more powerfully than you have yet known it, if you really love me and keep my commands. Jesus is moving through these aisles. that's what you are, I will see you, and you'll not remain the way you are. And you don't need to be afraid to come to me, even though I dwell in the high and holy place. I desire to make my abode with those whose hearts are broken, who tremble at my word. And if you're one of those, I will certainly come and make my abode with you. Oh, children, the glory that awaits those that really get a larger vision of me is unspeakably great. And I have a great desire over every one of you in this meeting to reveal myself to you as I am. The world has rejected me, is rejecting me every day and every night. And the worldly church has rejected me. And what are you going to do? Are you going to go away also? Or are you going to say, Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast words of eternal life. But these words are the seeds of the kingdom. And I want you to guard your heart with all diligence, so that the words that proceed out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that whereunto I sent it. Many of you need to get down a little bit more. You need to get down on your knees. You need to humble yourself before me. You need to reckon that my word is life, and that I mean it when I call you to be sanctified, holy. And you need to give me time. I can change you. I can transform you. That's why I speak to the faint. I have power for the faint. And to them that have no might, I have an increase of strength. Do you belong to that class of people? Why then come and give me time. Wait upon me. I have given you time. I have given you opportunity. And I tell you, the time you waste is really lost. But the time you give me is time that will return into eternity a glorious harvest, and will make you rejoice forevermore.